Okay, he wrote the letter of Philippians from prison, for instance. This is just an example. And the prisons there are not like our prisons, you know. And I can identify what she was saying. Because I was a correction officer at one time. And where I worked, they had five beautiful mobile homes, each with outfitted with two or three bedrooms and playgrounds and whatnot. And on the weekends, the inmates' families were able to come and, you know, have a little family retreat there. And I never forget the first time I was in the prison where I worked at in Walkville, New York. I was watching them go through for chow, and I'm like, man, this particular institution had a farm, and they raised cattle, and they butchered their own cattle, and they milked their own cows, and it's amazing how these inmates ate. And then when they were done, the head kitchen officer would go and line up at each row, and he would hold up his hands for number two, you know, for two, for seconds. And the people would get up, and they'd be able to get up for seconds. And I'm like, wow. And not only were they getting up for seconds, but they were taking, you know, extra fruit and extra brownies and extra donuts and loaded in their pockets. So this person was making the statement or the comment that this prison that Paul was in was not like our prisons. It was horrible, horrible conditions. And you know, if you could think about it, you know, he's in his own excrement and rats and whatnot. But why do we preach that? Because that's what we heard. That's what we heard. And that's what we preached. I remember I used to preach the same thing because it's what I heard. But now by simple hermeneutical observations and investigations, you find out that when Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in Rome, but he was in house arrest. And he had a lot of freedom. And he had a courtyard, and he had a yard. And in fact, he was allowed to have visitors. In fact, Luke spent a lot of time with him, and other people came to visit him. So it wasn't like some of the other prisons he found himself in were of that of the circumcision. That's the amazing thing. But the second set of prison epistles were written under house arrest in Rome, where he had a really nice villa, and it was a really nice situation. He had a lot of freedom in that place, and he was able to have visitors and whatnot. But that's just an example of, I would say, eisegesis, where we preach the Word of God from our own ideas, and it's not exegesis, where we go in and try to find the factual information behind the scriptures. And so that's why it's important to, you know, to understand what you're reading, who wrote it, you know, who the listeners are, who the readers are, what was the situation, what's going on, why was he addressing what he was addressing, so that you can gain all the relevance of that letter for them and what it means now for you. And of course, Pastor Lenny, Pastor Lori, our lane is, it's all Jesus. Right, Lore?
All Jesus.
Right? It's all Jesus. And I think of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "For by grace, through faith," right? "It is a gift, not of works, lest you should boast, lest anyone should boast." And you think about God's amazing grace, and everybody has tried to give a definition of what grace is. You know, his unmerited favor, right? His power, his abilities, his amazing influence on our lives, right? I like Joseph Prince's definition. Grace is Jesus. Jesus is grace. The law came by Moses. Grace came by Jesus. And Jesus is everything, and with Jesus comes everything. So I like the definition of grace as being Jesus. Why are you smiling, honey? Oh, okay. She's communicating with people. She's communicating with people, guys. Okay, that's cool. I want to know what they're saying. No, I don't. I got to concentrate. See, now what am I? Okay. So whatever your definition of grace is, right? It's from God. And whatever your definition of faith is, it's from God. It's a gift. Lest any man should boast. And it never changes. It never changes. It's always by God and of God, you know, through God, because of God. And I love, and he's going to talk about this in this chapter 2. No, definitely in chapter 3, where he's talking about it is of faith that it might be by grace, you know. And the law is not of faith. The law, doing, self-effort, is not of faith. And I like what he says. He's always very consistent. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says, and if it's by grace, guys, then it's no more works. Romans 11, 6, right? If it's by grace, guys, then it has nothing to do with works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. So if you look at the first part of that verse, grace is not works. Grace never equals works. Grace will never be equal to works. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Now, if it's of works, then it's not of grace. Then it's not of grace. Okay? Otherwise, work is not work. So everywhere you look, Paul is addressing the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of works, believing in Jesus Christ, and adherence to the law of Moses. Those were the two gospels that were being preached in the New Testament. This is why New Testament doesn't equal New Covenant. Now, I'm going to let you know, I was listening to a message. Somebody, you know, shared with me a message. And it was a great message, okay? In fact, you know, before the Holy Spirit put Pastor Laurie and I in the lane that he put us in, I would have thought that there couldn't be a better message, right? I would have thought it was great. But at the time we're in now, the place we're in now, it brings to me the questioning of, but it's still a list of what I have to do. And it was a message about blessings. We all want to live in the blessings, right? We all want to live in the spectacular, the provisions, all that Christ Jesus provided for us. You know, we all want to live in that financial increase, right? That increase of health, that increase of blessed relationships. We want to live in the increase. And so the message went on to talk about steps and ways and what we do to enter into that blessing or that increase. And then, you know, it went through steps in a series of things. And this is why Pastor Lenny doesn't like, that's not my lane, okay? I'm not going to say I don't like it. I'm going to say, you know, if I like something or not, I'm going to say it's not our lane. Right, Pastor Lori? Right? Right, guys? It's not our lane. Because you know what that produces? Okay, I'm not getting the blessing that I'm searching for, or I'm looking for, or I'm believing for. So I must not be doing enough of step one. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not doing enough of step one. Wow, before I even get to step two, I got to make sure I'm doing enough of step one, you know? And then you get to step two and you're doing step two and you're like, okay, where is this increase? You see, because now you're looking for the increase. You're looking for the blessing, right? Because of what you're doing. You understand? I hope this makes sense. All right? And now that's only two, but there's four or five more. Okay? And so it's like, all right, I know he said finished, I know it says, I have been made to qualify by God the Father for all the greatness of my inheritance. I've been, okay. But now, what do I need to do? Okay, these are the steps. All right, I'm doing them. So where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Ah, oh, I must not be doing enough. You see? And then what will happen? Guilt, shame, condemnation. And then the questions. Hey, how much time do you spend doing step one? Oh, I start my day with a half hour of so-and-so. And I end my day at night before with a half. Oh, so it's a half an hour? So now we spend a half an hour? And it's like, what? Well, maybe for that person it's a half an hour, but maybe for me it's an hour. You follow what I'm saying? But the amazing thing, guys, was this. As this teaching was going on, I was listening to the steps. And I hope this makes sense. Okay? I was listening to the steps. And you know what my spirit man was telling me? Don't worry about the steps, Pastor Len. Well, he didn't call me Pastor Len. He calls me Lenny. He calls me Lenny. He doesn't even call me Leonard because he knows only my mother calls me Leonard, you know? So the Holy Spirit calls me Lenny, you know? That would be funny if the Holy Spirit called me Leonard. No, I'm like, what, Mom? No. So the Holy Spirit calls me Lenny. For those of you who don't know, Antoinette, that's my mom, and I love her. I love you, Mom. So anyway, so he said, Lenny, isn't it awesome and wonderful that all those steps, they're just part of your being because they're just a fruit of you having received and the growth of your understanding of how much God loves you. And the growth of your understanding and the knowing of how righteous you are. Those two great power sources in the life of a believer. God loves me. He's approved of me. He loves me so much. I can't do anything to make him love me anymore or love me any less because his love for me is perfect. I'm totally approved before. And I was like, woo, I love him. I love him. And I believe, see, new creation realities. You teach people new creation realities. I'm just like Jesus. I'm just like Jesus. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm sanctified. I'm complete. I'm perfected. Wow. Why? Because here's love perfected. You have boldness before Daddy God. Why? Because he made you to be just as Jesus is. Wow. 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 And all of a sudden, you know, that produces a fruit, right? A reflective fruit, the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of his love, that automatically causes a son or child, a daughter of God who's led by Spirit to do those things that people are getting are trying to get them to make in or turn into steps. Steps produce guilt, shame, and condemnation. Fruit never does. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Let me see a thumbs up. They say amen, you guys give me a thumbs up. Okay. David got mad at me last week. He thought I forgot him. No, I just sent an invitation to a different David. Okay. So anyway. I've seen three of me?
You?
Well, don't look at there.
No, I like three of you.
You like three of me? Are they all good looking?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right, man. If you're not having fun as a Christian, you're doing something wrong. Now, I'm writing a new book, and the new book is titled, I Am, I Can, and I Have, because Jesus said so. And the first thing I'm talking about is the Bible. What is the Bible for? You know, and how to rightly understand the Bible, and how to rightly understand covenants, and how to understand the difference between authoritative and inspiration, inspired and inerrant and infallible. And when it comes to our scriptures, okay, the Bibles that we have, yes, we can say that the word of God they contain is authoritative. And they're inspired words in the Bibles that we have. But we can't say they're inerrant and they're infallible. Why? Because we don't have original manuscripts. In fact, we have copies of copies of copies of copies and fragments, okay? And then, where men were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and they were the original authors, whatnot, translators are not, inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. Many times, they're very subjective. And so, that's why we don't have a canonized Bible that this is the one. And so I explain in the book that you have to have proper hermeneutics, number one, and we talk about that. But number two, you have to have the right filters. And you have to know what those filters are. And under the new covenant of grace, those filters are, I am just like him. I am loved just like him by the Father. I am approved of just like him by the Father. I am like him in every single way, in pure holiness, in pure right. I am like him, right? I can, as Jesus can do it, I can do it. The same anointing rests in me that rested in him, that was upon him, and I have. He is an heir. I'm a joint heir with him, okay? And so now if you're reading scriptures that don't have those, they don't pass the test of those filters, then you have to know it's not right. It's not right. And another one of the filters are, another one of the filters is, I just told you about it, if it is of by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it is of works, it is not grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. And so when you read Paul's writings, he's not going to make it all about Jesus and then turn around and make it all about you. He's not going to make it all about what Jesus has done and then turn around and now tell you, okay, but now what you have to do. We're going to see this in one of these passages of scripture today. Lord, Pastor Lori, when I get to verse 18. Make sure you raise your hand and wave at me because I wanna think about verse 18. We'll get to verse 18. And so when you understand it, then you could read the word of God and you could hear pastors and preachers and teachers and immediately you'll know that can't be right. That can't be right. That can't be right. And I have for instances, I went over Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, for instance, where all of a sudden Paul's making it about grace, making it about faith in Jesus Christ, right? Making it about his work, what he's done. One man got us into this mess, and only one man gets us out of this mess. And you've received his abundance of grace, and you've received his gift of righteousness, and now you rule and reign as a king. It's all about what Jesus did. And so now, all of a sudden, Paul is going to slam on the brakes, and in verse 1 of chapter 12, saying, now, I'm praying, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you, now, take your life, make yourself a living sacrifice. Now it's up to you. Paul ain't going to do that. So you have to know right away, wait, that's making it about what I have to do. Something's not right there. So now, thank God, we have at the touch of a finger, we could look up, Greek words and whatnot, and we can find that word present means stand beside, stand alongside. Now that makes perfect sense. Now I'm beseeching you, you Jews, you Gentiles, you weren't getting along. Now I'm telling you to get along. You're all one. You're all united in Christ, with Christ. All right. So now I'm imploring, I'm beseeching you. Take your positions beside one another, beside Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, God's holy and living sacrifice, which is your only spiritual worship. That's the only worship you can bring before God, is standing in Christ. And think about all the in Christ messages we have from Paul. if any man be in Christ, right? In Christ, there's like 150 in Christ passages of scripture from Paul, in Paul's writings, okay? And so that's an example. And another example is this one, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Wait a minute. Being made conformable unto his death, that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul, are you telling us that we have to be prepared to suffer in this life, to suffer through this life, and that's what's going to help us identify with Christ? That's not what Paul is saying at all. That's not it. Because you know what he's going to say in this chapter 2 of Galatians? I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but he that liveth in me. Oh, okay. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we were planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Whoa. Okay. Now in Colossians chapter 2, Paul is consistent. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who had raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Ephesians, Paul is totally consistent. And you, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and verses 4 through 6. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in your sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you go back to that scripture in Philippians, being made conformable unto his death, fellowship of his suffering, what is Paul talking about? He's talking about the same thing he's talking in all the other scriptures. He's not talking about now you be prepared to. He's telling you, understand the union. Understand the fact of your having been united with Christ. Understand your partnership with him. You died with him. You were buried with him. And you were raised to newness of life with him. Why? Because Paul wants you to live in the power of your new creation reality. He wants you to live in the power of your resurrection life. So guys, this is why it's important. Right filters. Right filters. You're going to navigate through the Bible in a completely different way. Scriptures are going to come. They're going to jump out. They're going to produce freedom for you like never before. They're going to energize you like never before. You're going to see and you're going to know it's grace. It's only grace, and it's purely grace. And then there's that other thing, that other verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What? He began it. God began a good work in you, and now he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Think about it. Think about it. We have learned when we see Jesus, when we seek Jesus, when we see Jesus, when we behold Jesus, we find ourselves. We see ourselves. We are made in the same exact image and likeness of Jesus Christ. So all this scripture is saying is what Paul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We beholding in the mirror the image of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. And as we're beholding in that image, then we become transformed by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Transformed how? You told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the transformation becomes complete by what? There you go. You can say it. You're right, Pastor Lori. Renewing of your mind. And this is why he's consistent in Colossians. Therefore, if ye be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. He's consistent in Ephesians, right? We have been raised with him and seated with him at the right hand of the Father. So now put on Christ, put on the new man, which after Christ has been made truly holy and truly righteous. How? By being renewed in your mind. So all this portion of scripture should be saying, and what it says when you rightly divide the word of God is, be confident of this thing, okay? This work was completed in you, but the transformation will be complete in your soul and in your body. The more you believe that when you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at yourself. It has to be consistent with Paul's other writing. It has to be. Remember, the portion of scripture, the chapter, the letter, the overall theology and doctrine and philosophy of the writer. And I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense? All right. And to prove that, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Okay? All right. So now, Galatians. I said, Pastor Lori, you know, there's a lot of times I keep repeating things. I said, am I repeating too much? So that's why I love Pastor Lori, because she'll be honest with me. She'll say, yeah, you're a little bit too much. She'll say, no, no, no. Because you need to hear those truths over and over and over and over again until they become immovable truths in your life. And it's still good to hear them. There you go. There you go. It's still good to hear them. Immovable truths in your life. You can't be moved. You can't set me off my rock. You can't set me from this firm foundation. You can't. Verse 18. Remember, you're going to let me know verse 18. So look at what's being said in Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Verse 11. I want to know, what does that word blamed mean? Because that's a nice word, right? What does that mean? Because he was to be blamed. That word blamed means I found a fault in him. I condemned him. I opposed him. I came against him. That's pretty tough, isn't it? It sounds like he was calling Peter out. He was calling Peter out. And I like another, translation I have. And it says this for verse 11. But when Peter, in turn, visited Antioch, I had to take him to task for his hypocrisy. His hypocrisy. What was all this hypocrisy? The false gospel. The false gospel. Man, we would be in such better shape if we knew and understand that there were two gospels being preached. And they still are being preached. So verse 12, for before that certain came from James, ooh-wee. You see what he's saying there? For before that certain came from James. So who did this gospel come from?
James.
Who was the law dog of the church?
James.
Who taught, okay, you believe in my brother Jesus, but you still stay fervent for the law of Moses? James. Why can't we just say that about James? Why can't we just tell the truth? Does he have good things to say in his writing? Yeah, he does. But he has some bad things to say too. That's why Paul came along. Why do you think Paul comes along and says, rightly divide? You need to rightly divide. You need to rightly divide. You mean James's writing? Yes. You mean Peter's writing? Yes. You mean the book of Acts? Yes. You mean the Gospels? Yes. Yes. So before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. He associated with the Gentiles. Why? Because what did Paul teach? He's going to teach in this very letter, for there is no more Jew or Gentile or slave or free man or woman or white or black, right? Or Chinese or Japanese or Italian. We're all one. We're all one. But before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. He associated with the Gentiles. He hung out with the Gentiles. But when they came from James, he withdrew. He bolted. He disassociated himself. He separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. How could it be any more clear? Right? They came from James. They were of the circumcision. He feared them. So he betrayed the true gospel. Wow. And so I opposed the version, the one version I just read said the hypocrite, the hypocrisy. Wow. This other translation that I read, his fellowship with the Greek believers seemed so sincere. He even ate with them until James's group arrived from Jerusalem. Then his loyalty, here it is, I love this, to the law showed its true colors. His pretense was an embarrassment. Verse 13. And the other Jews also followed his lead and disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that dear Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Because of James's senior position, all the other Jewish believers were swept along with his hypocrisy. They even seduced Barnabas. What a shame. Listen, this isn't Pastor Lenny. I'm not trying to convince you. This is the Apostle Paul writing to convince the Galatians. The relevance of the fact that there were two gospels to the Galatian church. What's the relevance for us? If people don't know that there were two gospels, they don't come to grips with that. They're not going to understand mixture. They're not going to understand legalism. And they're going to be swayed. They're going to become hypocrites. But when I saw, verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly, this is powerful. You've got to understand what's being said here, okay? Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. So here it is. This is Peter, right? Peter was one of the 12, right? He's one of the 12. And he's talking about all the rest of John. And listen to what he's saying. When I saw that they walked not uprightly, they weren't walking according to the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all, now if you being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, in other words, secretly, secretly, he was adhering to faith in Jesus Christ. So I guess secretly Peter maybe wasn't fervent for the law. I don't know. And not as do the Jews. Then why are you trying to make the Gentiles live as they do? You know, this is. Could you imagine that? Ask yourself this question. Am I walking uprightly according to the truth? Me? Yes, I know. Are you?
Yes.
Are you? Are you? But and what does that mean? That means you're not a hypocrite. And you don't adhere to the laws of Moses. You don't adhere to the do-it-yourself system. You don't have a gospel of additives. The gospel, it's all about Jesus Christ, but there are some additions. There are some additions that I need to add to it. No! I walk uprightly. This is amazing. And walking uprightly means it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he did. It's all about faith in him. I am approved. I am beloved. I am qualified. I am holy. I am righteous because of what Jesus did. I have achieved the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. I have a qualified for, by God I've qualified, for all the promises, all the blessings, and for all the greatness of the inheritance that is stored up for me. Bang! Wow! That's walking uprightly. When you have to follow steps or procedures or you're told you have to, you must, you need to, you're putting additives in. Additives in. Additives in. My wife is big on, every time I want to buy something, every time I want to eat something, she takes it out of my hand, she puts her reading glasses on because the print's really small. Let me see what's in there. I have to know what the ingredients are. Oh, you don't want this. Why don't you want this? What's bad about this? Well, it has soy in it. Soy? Soy is bad now? It says it's organic. No, but soy is still not good. Oh, okay, it says it's all organic. It's all natural. Yeah, but look, it says natural flavorings on it. Natural flavorings, we don't know what that means. You know, what's the word for natural? What does that mean? Proprietary, you know? So we don't know what that is. So we ain't putting those additives in our bodies, you know? So here, this gospel has no additives. There's no additives in it. There's no red, you know, red number 5 or yellow number 8, you know. There's no high fructose corn syrup. There's not even any stevia, you know. But this is a good additive. No. There's no additives in it. This is it. It's 100% purely, holy, solely Jesus. That's my gospel. That's my gospel. You know, amen. And you know what I want to go do tomorrow, Pastor Lori? I want to go rob a bank. I want to go get some paint, and I want to disface some public buildings. I want to go, you know, attack some innocent bystander. I just want, no. Because part of my new creation reality is I'm convinced I'm just like Jesus. And if I can't see Jesus doing it, I can't see Lenny Roller doing it. Why? Because Lenny Roller has been made to be just like Jesus Christ by God. See, Lenny Roller just has to grow more and more into the understanding and the illumination. As Jesus is, so am I. As Jesus is, so am I. Good stuff, huh? This is good stuff. I love the gospel. I love the gospel. Verse 15, who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Woo-woo-woo. What does that mean? See, now here it goes. He's just, the King James is talking about the two groups again. Paul is letting them know, oh, you see, Jews, right? They're God's chosen people. Gentiles, they're dogs. He's making that analogy there, you know, basically saying there, sin is not a respecter of persons. Sin is sin whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. And we know that's true. We know that's what it means, even though it doesn't make any sense, does it, Pastor Lori? You read it in the King James, it doesn't make any sense. But then when you know, like I said, you know Paul's thinking and Paul's writing, you remember the book of Romans where he spends the first 3 chapters letting, hey, Jews, you're guilty. You had the law, you're guilty. Hey, Gentiles, you didn't have the law, but you're still guilty because your conscience, by your conscience, you knew what was right according to the law. So Jew, Gentile, you're both guilty. That's all he's saying here. You're in the same boat. And what gets you out of, and well, you, I don't want, you're in the same boat. Being in that boat, maybe you're in the same shark-infested water. You were in the same shark-infested waters. Now you're both in the same boat. And Jesus is the captain of that boat. How's that? That's better, right? Mm-hmm. Is this all right so far?
Perfect.
Perfect. Woo! 16, knowing that a man is not justified, right? And what does that mean? Justified, right? Righteous. It's the same words. They come from the same Greek word. It could say, knowing that a man is not righteous, that a man is not made righteous by works of the law or by any other work, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By no works can we ever be justified before God or expect anything because of our works. If it is of grace, it is no more works, unless grace is no more grace. Okay? Now, I like this. This is one thing I like about the King James Version, that other versions don't have this like this. But you see, sometimes they don't even know what they're writing and they get it right. I like when it says, okay, by the faith of Jesus Christ, right? Might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. I like that. Paul is going to say, right, in verse 20 of chapter 2, I don't think we're going to get there tonight, but he's going to say, I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh suit, I live by the faith of the Son. See, for some reason, the interpreters, not knowing what they were doing, interpreted these things as the faith of Jesus, the faith. And you know, it is the faith of Jesus. And what was the faith of Jesus? Here's the faith of Jesus. Father, I'm coming to do your will. I'm coming to do your will. Your will is for me to be crushed. Your will is for me to be broken and beaten, right? And bloodied and battered and whipped to receive the stripes, right? I'm trusting you, Father, that now I, Father, I have existed with you from the beginning of time, eternally, without sin. Father, I'm trusting that as I'm made sin with the sins of the world, Lenny Roll is sin, that now as I'm crucified, right, and I died, Father, I am believing now in this covenant we are making that now you accept my sacrifice, you accept my offering, and now through your righteous servant, this is Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 through 12. Father, then you will be obligated by covenant with me, your son Jesus Christ, to justify the many. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ was, Father, into your hands I commit your spirit. Why? Because now, Father, I'm being buried and I'm going to hell. And I have to totally trust you, Father. My faith that you're going to raise me. You're going to raise me. And when you do, Father, raising me is raising all those who died with me to righteousness. And that is Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Woo! Praise the word of God. I love the word of God. I love the word of God. All right. Is that making sense, Lulu?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. What are you saying, Paul? What are you saying? Verse 17. However, if in our quest to discover righteousness by faith in what Jesus did for us, we find that it is still possible to stumble, do not now label yourself a sinner yet again. The fact that you sin does not cancel the cross of Christ and gives you no reason. Who? Gives you no reason to abandon justification by faith as if Christ is to be blamed for your distraction. That would be absurd. Now all of a sudden you want to keep the law again to further add to your righteousness as if Christ did not achieve enough. Do not let your experience deceive you to invent a new doctrine. So what is Paul saying there? He's saying this, that if you are trying to put your faith in Jesus Christ, or you believe you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ for righteousness, right? But now you're reverting back to the law for righteousness. What you're saying is what he did wasn't enough for my sins. And now I'm becoming a sinner again, technically. Why? Because now it's up to my own zealousness for righteousness again. And no, Paul is saying, no, that's ludicrous. That's dumb. That's stupid. That's hypocritical. That's straying from the truth. Is that? Now here it goes. Okay. I think this is the last. This is the last verse we're going to do tonight. Has this been okay so far? What are you raising your hand for, Mom?
Verse 18.
Oh, verse 18. Okay. All right. Hey, Dave, has this been okay so far? All right. I love you, Dave. How about it, Nina? Has it been okay? All right. How about it, Christine? Oh, Christine from Texas. My sister from Texas. You look good tonight. You look great tonight.
Michael says thumbs up.
Michael. Where's Michael? I don't see him. Oh, thumbs up. He gave me a thumbs up. All right, Michael. So now listen to the verse 18. Verse 18. Here we go. This is Paul. Okay, do you understand? This is what Paul is saying now. He sees what came from Jerusalem. He sees what's coming from Peter. He sees what's coming from the Judaizers. He sees this other gospel. Remember what he said in chapter 1. If any man preach another gospel. If an angel preaches another gospel. Okay? He's talking about the laws of Moses. He's definitely and succinctly and solely talking about righteousness through adherence to the law. Right? The law of Moses by angels. We already established that in chapter 1. So now he's saying this. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself the biggest transgressor. What is he saying there? What is he saying there? Huh? Come on. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. He's saying his gospel is all about Jesus Christ with no additives. Now, if he was to build upon that now by adding zealousness to the law of Moses again, he would become the biggest of transgressors. And he's not going to do it. And neither is Pastor Lenny and Pastor Lori. We are not going to do it. Wow. I love the Apostle Paul. I love his writings. I love my freedom. I love my freedom. My freedom, going back to two, not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before that, when I spoke a message on involuntary and involuntary, how I was an involuntary slave to sin, how it held me in its grips and I couldn't do anything to escape. That was involuntary. But now, because of Jesus, I made myself a voluntary. I volunteered myself by submitting myself to the faith of Jesus Christ, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to righteousness. And to righteousness, and to righteousness. I'm a servant to my belief system that I'm righteous. That's what rules and governs my life now. Everything that righteousness means, approved of by God, loved by God, at peace before God, justified before God, made holy, made righteous before God. I'm a slave to that thinking. I'm a slave to that belief system. And nothing can move me from that. In Jesus' name. And as I close, there's a couple things I want to mention. And that is, tomorrow, those of you who follow me live, I will not be live tomorrow because I've been invited to be a guest speaker at another church. To a wonderful pastor friend of mine. So I'll be broadcasting on his platform at 9 a.m. tomorrow, Yorktown Assembly of God. I have the link on my Facebook page for people to follow. But here's another important announcement. Please look for myself, Pastor Lenny, Fridays at 12 p.m., 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, as Butch and Julie M. Hartman have graced me with the opportunity to be guest speaker for the month of April. There's two more sessions left. There's this Friday and next Friday. Please join us. And I showed Pastor Lori, and this is pretty exciting. If you look up on Healing Journeys Today, and you go to where it says more, and you put in videos, it lists the most popular videos and teachings. And guess who comes up number one? Pastor Lenny's. And I'm like, God, thank you. People are listening. People are hearing this pure gospel of grace without any works, without any effort. We keep on getting amazing messages on how free people are becoming. Guilt and shame and condemnation are melting away. For some, it's harder than others because it's been so many years. Okay? But it's going to happen for all. It's going to happen for all because it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. So I wanted to let you know that. And then the other quick announcement is my book, The Two Greatest Sources of Power in the Lives of a Believer, is available on Amazon now. I'm getting a lot of great and wonderful reviews from that, and people are emailing me and texting me about that. And I encourage you, if you don't have it, you know, to get it, because it's going to springboard your life into the miraculous. The two greatest forces in the life of a believer: love and righteousness. And with that, you know, we'll bring this session to a close. And thank you guys for listening and visiting with me tonight. And I'm going to say goodbye to the podcast people.